lot of soccer fans, including myself for that matter, have a tendency to take the game way too seriously. Now, in fairness, it does take up a lot of our time, whether that be watching games or critiquing games or, you know, talking about games on social media. You know, soccer takes up so much time and it really is an integral part of so many of our lives. But it would be pretty smart to understand that there is a comedic side to the game, and that could be intentional. You know, we see a lot of clubs put together little funny bits, or it could be unintentional, things we see on the field that, you know, just kind of transpire and make us laugh. So part of the movement to make the game embrace its more comedic side comes from Christian Polanco, who is a member of the Cooligans podcast. Now, Christian started out as a stand-up comedian, but since he does have a passion for the game, it was easy for him to start up a podcast and, you know, embrace the comedic side of the game. So eventually he got intertwined with NYCFC, and now his podcast, The Cooligans, is a TV show on FuboTV. So today we're going to circle back to a conversation I had with Christian Polanco not too long ago, just to get to know his career and get to know a funny man, you know, trying to make the game embrace its lighter side. So we're going to throw it over to Christian now, and we're going to talk about how he got into the game, especially starting out as a stand-up comedian, which differs from most of the soccer media out there. So I hope you all enjoy this conversation, and thanks for listening.
You know, I always feel I have a very severe, like, imposter syndrome. You call me a member of the media, but I am a stand-up comedian by trade, and then I got into the soccer business with a podcast that's now a TV show. And so this is always, these always feel weird when I speak to the appropriate soccer, you know, Illuminati such as yourself, Kyle.
Yeah, you talk about it. You're a stand-up comedian. How do you go from that role to being a soccer podcaster?
Right. It became out of simply FIFA, playing the video game, getting obsessed with the sport. Always had a bunch of friends that were really into it. I used to go to games, the whole thing, kind of like everybody else. But I focused on stand-up comedy for the majority of like my career. And then, you know, NYCFC started in 2015. I was like, hey, a new team, let me go support. And I was already a comic for a couple of years. I was going to games with my co-host, Alexis Guerreros, who's also a stand-up comic. And we were like, hey, we should start a soccer podcast. Comedians don't really talk about soccer. And boom, I'm on your show.
So being a stand-up comic, how do you get into that? Is it something that growing up you were like, that's what I want to be? Or is it more something that you realized you're a funny guy, kept on practicing, and you just kind of took it from there?
I would say I was obsessed with stand-up comedy as a teenager. And then in college, I was like, yeah, I think I would kind of want to do this. I used to write down jokes and said to myself, like, one day I'll do this. But I was in college for computer science, and that was my main focus. I ended up working in IT for a couple of years. And no one ever said, hey, you should do stand-up comedy. But I was clever and funny, and I always try to make people laugh. I have an older brother who's 8 years older than me, and like my only goal was to make him and his friends laugh. So I always felt like if I could make the adults laugh, maybe there's like some opportunity for me to do this. And then once I actually did stand-up comedy on stage in front of a crowd, and I heard a laugh, and I was able to like control that kind of response from an audience, I was like, I'm doing this forever. So I haven't looked back since.
It's funny, you're a stand-up comic. I'm actually in a fantasy football league where the punishment for coming in last place is to do a 5-minute stand-up routine. So I gotta ask you, do you have any recommendations or tips? Because right now I'm in second to last place and my team is pretty bad.
Okay, you know what, Kyle? I say this with all the love in the world. I hope you lose.
Okay, there it is. Yep, you're not the only one.
This will be a really good thing. I always say everybody should try stand-up comedy once, because it humbles you very, very quickly, and you learn things about yourself. So, I mean, we can do a whole other video. I would say more than anything, it's not to worry about failing. That's kind of the, you know, whenever you first try stand-up, you just gotta do what you think is funny, and the audience will let you know if it is not. And gotcha. but part of that is kind of exciting, of like walking that tightrope. So don't worry about failing. It's not about doing well. Usually when people do stand-up comedy for the first time, the audience does not expect you to succeed. So they're pleasantly surprised when they hear something funny. So There's nothing to lose.
Gotcha. I want to also talk to you about the Cooligans podcast. When did that start and how has it grown over the years?
Started the podcast itself probably started, I believe August of 2015, so a couple months after NYCFC began their inaugural season. It started out of a, you know, I had already been doing comedy about like 6 years, five, 6 years, Alexis as well. And we were like kind of just in a place where in this holding pattern of like, yeah, we're performing, we're getting opportunities here and there, whether it's like doing commercials, small acting roles, and we're just trying to kind of make sense of what we want our lives to be. And we started a soccer podcast out of like, let's just try this. We enjoy the sport. We didn't go into it expecting anything in return. And the more we did it, we started realizing that soccer audiences like to laugh as well. And that soccer, the general soccer media or soccer entertainment media was, you know, in our opinion, not super funny, or at least the comedy world didn't really offer anything to the soccer world, the American soccer world. And we started with like little videos. We did like man on the street stuff after like NYCFC games and interviewing fans. And that was like fun, but it was also like a lot of fans were like really drunk. And it's like, then it's also weird. So we were like, we need to do a podcast. Alexis and I had both originally done our own individual podcasts, and those ended. And then we were like, let's just do something together. We'll just make jokes about soccer. And people started gravitating to it. So little by little, people started hearing about us. And then we started traveling and going to different like markets and meeting supporters of different teams. And it's been a really cool experience getting to where it's almost like given us this sense of purpose where, yeah, it's fun to travel and make jokes and make people laugh around the country. But there's also a feeling of we get to give back to the game that's given so much to us. And that's kind of what we've been doing. And in the last 2 years, in 2019, the podcast became a TV show on Fubo TV. And ever since then, I mean, that's been a dream come true. The fact that we can actually make money doing this where that wasn't the case beforehand. So it's been a sort of a life-changing thing that's kind of changed the trajectory of what we thought we were going to do in comedy. And the idea now is like we've honed and we're continuing to hone our comedy skills to deliver that to the soccer world. And that's been fulfilling within itself.
Yeah. When you first started the podcast in 2015, was there ever any thought that you were going to be able to go to Europe and cover these games, or at least go to the games in person?
Not at all. I mean, it was a dream. But the cool thing about the fact that we've gotten to do this and sort of do it on our own terms, like, yeah, we're on Fubo TV, but really it's still our show, and we get to kind of, we have a lot of creative control over it as well. And the fact that there's the option to simply like, we went to Paris and we went to London to go watch Lionel Messi play his first home game for PSG. And that was out of, we sort of surprised everybody. And that was out of, but the fact that we were even able to do that is wild. So it wasn't the plan by any means, but now it's sort of become like, all right, what can, you know, you see popular comedy podcasts all the time, whether it's, you know, the Joe Rogan or Flagrant 2, or there's so many, Comedy Bang Bang, literally everything. So from our perspective, we're like, well, how do we make the soccer world and the comedy world like vibe a little bit more? And that's really our only kind of like goal and purpose at the moment.
Yeah, I already kind of talked about it. Got that TV show with Fubo. Can you kind of talk about what that is? Is it just a video stream of the podcast, or are there other things you guys do on it?
It's mostly they essentially are bought the video rights to our podcast. So it's the visual version of our podcast, but we get to do a little bit, I would say before the like pandemic began, we were kind of traveling a bit. We would do interviews at like different events. Like we did an interview at the MLS 25th anniversary, right before the pandemic began. We got to interview like David Beckham and a couple other people, Greg Berhalter. You know, when we would travel to games, like we filmed a sketch with Fang from the Philadelphia Union. So the show is generally the video version of our podcast, but there's visual elements to the show that are a little bit different. And that's been fun too, because we've also learned to, you know, work on a TV show. Like there's a production team. There are, you know, 6-7 people in our ear kind of giving us a little bit of direction whenever we need it. So doing a podcast is fun and very, very loose, but having the structure of doing a soccer television show kind of allowed us to learn the you know, whether it's like the terms that people use on television, whether it's, you know, so there's almost like if we were doing something for like ESPN or CBS or something like that, like we would be comfortable doing that because we're getting that experience now.
Before we get into the actual items, I just want to be able to have the audience get to know you a little bit more. You already mentioned your work with NYCFC, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but you're also an Everton supporter?
That is correct, yeah.
So how does that start up?
That was honestly, I didn't have a Premier League team that I supported. So when we started the show, in 2015, it was because like sort of NYCFC brought us together and kind of inspired that idea. And we always say like the Cooligans wouldn't exist if it wasn't for NYCFC. That's absolutely true. And at the time, I was just picking a Premier League team. I didn't really watch the Premier League regularly. I would catch games here and there. I watched more MLS matches than I ever did anything else. I would watch, you know, the Champions League finals here and there, big games, World Cups, but I was really not into European football. And then I had to make a decision. Tim Howard was on Everton at the time. He was already crushing it with the U.S. men's national team. It felt like a rational choice. I didn't want to just simply pick based on, you know, I didn't want to...
The normal big six teams.
Yeah, yeah. Either a bandwagon type of thing, or I just wanted the connection to be somewhat genuine and not me simply looking for success or glory, right? Alexis is an Arsenal supporter. He was like, "Oh, you got to support Arsenal," and I'm glad I did not. What a nightmare that's been those last couple of years. But it was an interesting choice, and I was just in London, and it was the first time I was there, and I got to tell people that I'm an Everton supporter. And most in the US, I'll tell people I'm an Everton fan. They're like, oh, "Okay, you know." They can wrap their heads around it. Mm-hmm. In London, everybody was like, "You're an Everton supporter. Why are you an Everton supporter?" Like literally just more of a concern than anything mm-hmm. else. But I got to attend my first Everton match in England. It was an away match. They were playing QPR, but I got to be there for that. And Everton supporters have been so kind and welcoming and I've shown so much love that I'm like, I've met so many awesome people that are attached to the club that I'm like, I'm so happy I made this decision. NYCFC, I always say like, is I used to go to games. I used to watch soccer in the US. I used to go to like Metro Stars games and some Red Bull games here and there. And sometimes a lot of people ask me like, why weren't you a Red Bull supporter? And I wasn't a Red Bull supporter simply because I didn't know about the soccer culture of like supporting a team. I had nobody introduced me to it. I used to see like the supporter section. I was like, well, I don't know what those people are doing. They seem to be louder than everybody else, but cool, good for them. And I would go to a game and I would leave and I felt no connection to the club. Then NYCFC starts. I see the you know, from the beginning, the foundation, the supporter culture grow. And so I have this is the 2015 kit for NYCFC, but it is autographed by several of the players. It's hard to see right here, but it's like RJ Allen, Tommy McNamara, a couple of them. But one of the autographs here is Patrick Vieira. who was the head coach of NYCFC, and he autographed it for me at an event. Like NYCFC used to hold these kind of like Q&As at bars around the city, and this was must have been in 2016, 2017, and I walked up to Patrick Vieira, asked him for an autograph. After he signed it, I said, "Hey, Patrick, we have a podcast. I would love for you to do the show." Mm-hmm. And it felt surreal that I'm asking this Arsenal Invincible to do my podcast. I almost felt he was going to be insulted. And he laughed and then said, you have to talk to the media person from NYCFC. And then the media person from NYCFC was like, "You do not ask Patrick Vieira to do it." So, and it's funny now, because now we work for NYCFC, and I've interviewed the current head coach of NYCFC, which is Ronnie Dyla. But it just shows where we came from, where I was shooting my shot and just hoping that you know, I could have a more of a connection with the club or get players on the podcast or coaches and stuff like that. And now I went from being, you know, overstepping a line where the media person was like, "What are you doing?" to now they're like, "Please, Christian, we need you to interview the coach of NYCFC." So we've come a long way.
Any soft spot for Crystal Palace? I know Patrick Vieira is the manager now.
I want to see him succeed, man. I think he was a great coach. And one of the cool things about supporting an MLS team, and I'm sure people feel this with like NWSL, just supporting American soccer, is that the barriers of entry of being able to meet either players or coaches is not really that difficult, right? You can, I've met Patrick Vieira several times, shook his hand, talked to him, and, you know, like I was in, when I went to an Arsenal match at the Emirates, and after the game, fans are mad. They can't even remotely get close to a player. Mm-hmm. Literally the level of the police, it's unsafe for the players to be around, around so many fans. And it's completely different in the US. And that's something I've always been grateful for, like that maybe it's something we take for granted, but Americans can really get, you know, close and have conversations with you know, some of these top athletes in soccer.
Do you reckon that's at all just because soccer is a growing sport? I mean, I don't think we'll get the same kind of access for like an NFL or NBA team here, but since soccer is growing relatively rapidly, do you think that we get a little more access or benefits?
It's definitely that, but I feel like soccer fans, there is a level of, we all understand that the sport is still, we're all still trying to grow the game. And if we were like absolutely nuts and crossed some line and made some player or coach uncomfortable or something like that would make everybody look bad. And so I think where we are as a soccer country, we haven't brought in the toxic people just yet. There's some, but not as many as some of the other countries where soccer is really the only sport in the country.
Well, it's certainly an interesting jersey. Is it more special too just because it is the 2015 jersey, or is it all the signatures on the back?
It's the signatures, but it's also, it's a good kit, and a lot of people miss that one. So so more than one reason.
For sure. And we'll bring out the second item. I saw you had a little white box or something like that.
Okay, so this is, it says Bundesliga on it, right? And inside is a mini, let me take this out. It's a mini trophy. It's a miniature version of the, what's it called?
It's one of those words that's impossible to pronounce in German.
So it's obviously the championship trophy, mm-hmm, for Bundesliga, but it's Deutscher Fußball Meister. Oh, okay, that's what it says on there. Yeah. My German's a little rough.
Yeah, I think it's the Meisterschale. I could be way off, but I know what you're talking about.
So I got this playing in a soccer media game in Germany that also Chris from World Soccer Talk was attended this as well. And we played, a lot of the media members played, and our team won. I'm not the best at, look, like Steve Cherundolo was on the team. He definitely carried a lot of the weight. But we won, and it was me. I forgot exactly who was on the team. It was me, Taylor Rockwell from Total Soccer Show. There were a couple guys from media in like Colombia. It was a great, great trip, and this was Bundesliga invited us to go to two matches. And we got to go to a match in Dusseldorf and a match in Frankfurt. So we saw Eintracht Frankfurt take on Bayern Munich, and we saw Dusseldorf take on Cologne. And it was, you know, speaking of, you know, you had just mentioned traveling, going to London and Paris, but that trip was one of the most fun things I had ever experienced. It was not only did we get to go to Germany and learn a little bit about a different country that I had never been to before, and learn about like the football culture that's there, but we went with a bunch of friends and we got to go with you know, specifically the two host of Total Soccer Show, formerly obviously rest in peace Daryl Grove and Taylor Rockwell. But that was a at the time when we had found that. So Daryl Grove, he passed away from cancer. But when we found out, we were in DC at Audi Field, and when I got the email about going to Germany, I thought it was fake. I was like, there's no way that they're inviting us to go to Germany for free to watch Matt, and it's from Bundesliga. No way this is real. And then we get to, we're in DC, and I'm talking to Daryl and Taylor, and they're like, we got this email about Germany. And they're like, we also got an email about Germany. I'm like, what? Get the hell out of here. And we're like, we're both going to Germany. So we went, and it was really the last trip that we got to go on with Daryl, and he was not in the best shape, but we had so much fun. We laughed so much, and I think this is the thing. It really felt like the Cooligans have something to offer that's a little bit different than just standard journalism, which is, you know, we don't think of ourselves as journalists. They're you know, journalists hold themselves to a much higher standard than we do. But the fact that we were at matches and at like hotel bars and joking around and sharing stories about, you know, about like the, you know, what this career is like. I mean, I think there's a lot of similarities between comedians and journalists, especially American soccer journalists, where, you know, they always say stand-up comedy is the least respected art form. And it's also soccer is almost like the least respected sport in this country. Oh, yeah. And there's a lot of, you know, people just trying to prove their that they have something valuable to share, and that this is significant, and that it's important. And, you know, the hanging out with a bunch of soccer journalists also feels like comedians hanging out in a green room and sharing stories about other gigs and other shows and how terrible this crowd was or whatever. Or, you know, I've journalists will say like, oh, I interviewed Berhalter and he gave me a terrible quote, or he was really mean to me, or I asked him a dumb question and he really like gave it to me. And those stories are so fun to hear, because you get to laugh about them. And then so we got to do a lot of that in Germany. It was such a cool trip. The trophy that I won, obviously, you know, some of those other journalists that are beneath me in my soccer level, you know, it's they got to work on their game, and that's a whole other story. But getting to go on that trip really, really meant a lot to continuing to motivate myself on, like, you know, that there's a sense of purpose in my life of like the comedy world and the soccer world have a lot more to do together. And we're just trying to, like, you know, continue to like join those two things.
I just want to clarify that trophy only went to the winners, right? No, no participation trophies allowed here.
No, I mean, come on. What are we, you know, Generation Z or whatever? Get out of here. No.
What would you say was the best moment of that trip, though? Was it the playing in the match with other journalists, or was it being able to go to Bundesliga games and see those environments?
It's hard to pick one particular thing. I mean, it was the, you know, getting to see the, I've already seen, gone to a couple different countries to watch what, like, you know, watch a few games, and seeing supporter culture in different countries is everybody has like sort of their own identity. Germany is very, very liberal, very like anti-fascist. There's a lot of political messaging in a lot of countries do this, but that was one thing that really, really stood out. The organization when it comes to TIFOs, flares, the how loud these stadiums can be. We know even in Bundesliga, we know, you know, the Bayerns and Dortmund, those are the ones that people generally focus on. But a lot of these other clubs are intense, man. Even in Dusseldorf, the support was crazy. In Frankfurt, I mean, it was beautiful. The flip, even the away section was intense. The Bayern section, they had giant banners and flags and flares and like smoke. No one can even see the game. There's so much smoke. I don't know. It's a really cool thing. Like where that's what I liked about Germany, that the passion for their clubs was so intense, but outside the stadium, you didn't really feel like it was unsafe or like something would pop off, as opposed to Paris, where after the game they won, they have plenty of reasons to be happy, but they were playing against Lyon. There were a couple fights that broke out. I don't even know who was fighting. I don't know if it was between PSG supporters or not, but there was like riot police and the whole thing. So in those scenarios, you're like, all right, okay. I'm just here for a couple soccer matches. I don't know what you guys are here for. So there's a different level of intensity in certain places, but that part of it was really, really cool. In Germany, everybody is they're not only passionate about their supporting the club, but that the you know, because of the, especially the 50+1 rule, you really get a sense that there's a sense of ownership of what the club represents as well, not simply the players on the pitch or what the standings are, or how many goals they score. It is really, not only are we trying to win, but we're also trying to put out a positive message from the club, and that part of it was really, really cool.
Did you bring in a third item, or is it just those two things today?
I did. So the third item that I was gonna bring, I couldn't find. I don't have any more, but this is just kind of in addition to the Germany stuff. But we when Daryl Grove passed away, we made a patch. I'll send you a photo, but we made a patch to kind of commemorate him after his passing. And it just says hello and welcome. And it's in sort of the colors of Wolverhampton, which was the team he supported. And when we initially had the idea, we were like, oh, you know, we'll kind of hopefully maybe we can sell like 100 to 200 of these and raise some money for his GoFundMe to obviously alleviate the costs of his treatment that his family was dealing with. And I think right now we sold about 1,500 and raised nearly like $7,000. Wow. For his family. And I'm mentioning that it is the October 23rd will be 1 year since his passing. And so I ran out of them, but I'll send you a photo so you can show them on the screen.
Yeah,
but
is there like a link or something where people can go to buy one or anything like that?
Yes, there's a couple left. I will send you that. That for me, you know, Total Soccer Show, I always felt is one of the most important shows for American soccer, and not only does it help a lot of people, but it's been significant for me and as friends and having unfortunately lost someone that I didn't even know for so long. But in 2018, we went on a tour called the World Cup Comedy Tour. We brought Taylor and Daryl to comedy clubs, and we were doing like kind of live podcast. We were doing stand up. They were interviewing, maybe they would interview some players or do some trivia. And they, for the first time, got to meet their fans. And we saw how much their fans really loved them. And that really bonded us. And then also gave us that kind of that renewed sense of purpose to keep doing what we're doing. So the anytime I get to drop and support Total Soccer Show and what Daryl did for us, I'll always take the opportunity to do that. So that's my third thing.
Yeah, well said. I'll wrap it up with this, Christian. Where can people find your work, whether it be as a comic, as the podcast, or the things you're doing now with Fubo TV? Where can they find what you're doing right now?
Our TV show airs every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern time on Fubo Sports Network, which you can watch at FuboSportsNetwork.com. If you have the Fubo TV app, you've probably seen our dumb faces. They are on the screen. And then you can watch the full episodes of the show. They live on YouTube as well. That's our Fubo Sports Network YouTube channel, at Soccer Cooligans for anything Cooligans related, and at Chris Polanco on Twitter for anything for comedy related and stuff, for my personal stuff.
I'll about wrap it up, Christian. Really appreciate you coming on, and I wish you the best in all your future endeavors.
Kyle, thanks so much.
You have a good one. You too.